All right, everyone, we are back yet again. It is another episode of Inside City Limits. Myself, Mike, and Trevor here with you. We are going to talk about the midweek matchup against Minnesota. Say that three times fast. Midweek matchup against Minnesota. We're also going to preview you can give it a shot, both of you guys, if you want.
Midweek match versus Minnesota. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, Trevor. Good.
Thank you.
Mike, you want to give it a shot?
I can't top that.
Well, we're starting off strong with this episode. We'll also talk the Colorado game on Saturday. Mike has a special segment planned for us. I believe he's going to interrogate Trevor and I, but he wouldn't tell us what it's about or what his questions are. So we're going to get to that a little bit later on. We'll start with the midweek match of Minnesota, three times fast. Another loss. We are out of our cup run. The 3-2 scoreline isn't going to look as terrible as that game felt. Being up 2-1 in the second half, you know, giving up two goals in the last 5 minutes-ish. What was it, 5 minutes?
Something like that. And it's kind of like the Kansas City game where these losses – or like these losses feel worse than they are. You know what I'm saying? It's just like how we lose, it just makes it feel so much worse. And even though the Kansas City game was a tie, it's just how we tied, how we drew, why it felt so bad. And this is another one. You have a goal lead with just almost no time to play, and you still don't even make it into extra time.
I think that we are going to try not to just rant in circles this episode and try to keep it on subject, maybe try to bring a little dose of positivity. I guess we can start with the lineup itself, what we got before the match began. I was excited to see a JGR and Durkin central midfield pairing. It was nice to see Horn back in the lineup. To be honest, I wasn't excited to see Yarrow, but I think that we'll talk about him. I wouldn't say he played great, but he was pretty good on Wednesday.
I mean, might as well talk about him now. Yeah, I thought obviously, probably his second best game of the season. But coming off of the stretch of soccer that he's played, I mean, it was light and day how much better he looked. A couple key saves that didn't end up being key saves because we still lost, but...
Yeah.
I thought he played great. We kind of, you know, we shit on him a little bit, for lack of a better term. So it's only fair that when he actually goes out and has a really good game, we got to give him his flowers.
And he did deserve it. That save in that second half on the goal line at the time looked like it was going to save our 3 points or at least keep us in the match. But yeah, in the end, it didn't really matter. We're out of the cup. Besides that, I mean, the lineup was pretty much about the same, maybe besides a JGR start in the mid. We've only seen, you know, him in the limited action, so it's good to see him as well. No Kessler or Nilsson. They're being cautious, they said. It wasn't a re-aggravation. Nilsson's just still hurting with his knee, so what a shock. He's also not going to be available this weekend against Colorado.
Hot Mom has him as early July.
Oh my god. Just rip the band-aid off.
Well, I mean, I like back to the lineup talk. I love seeing Durkin back. Only thing I would have changed was a Celio or a Silva start. The only thing I would have changed personally. I thought our offense wasn't At the time, I thought our offense wasn't going to be very successful without either one of those guys on the field at all times.
That was my biggest complaint, was not having Celio or Silva out wide at all. And I guess we saw Silva in the second half, but I really want to see those two both start out on the wings and get, like, meaningful minutes, like at least 45.
Yeah, I thought it was odd we didn't see Celio at all, even though he's been playing a lot. And I know Silva came in later in the game, and they did have the lead, so I get why he didn't bring him in like around the 70, 80th minute. But I just think that's the most dangerous player with the ball on his feet right now on the team, and he needs minutes no matter what.
I think Olaf might just not like him. Remember that press, those weird answers about not working hard, and like I think he might just not like him.
He doesn't like Celio, and he doesn't like winning.
Well, I guess that we could start with the actual match itself. We got it behind early. I believe it was within 10 minutes, or what might have been the 10th minute. Yeboah, just a little run across, flick in. Trevor, I know that you had like a little breakdown that you wanted to go.
I'm gonna go on like just a small breakdown on basically every goal scored, kind of give you like a little rundown of the match, and I'm gonna just give people a thumbs up, thumbs down, stuff like that. First goal, I mean, 9 minutes in, 10 minutes before even the 10 minute mark. Thumbs down to Horn, just letting Minnesota cross it in. There was no pressure on the ball. It's almost like it was a free kick on a cross. Thumbs down to Yarrow. Yep. I mean, really, it's a two thumbs up for Yeboah. Insane finish past Berkey. Berkey didn't expect it. But if you're Yarrow there, you got to do something to throw him off. He was behind him by only about a foot, but really didn't do much there. And, I mean, then you can see, we were just talking about how City's so good in the first, you know, half, not conceding, first 10, 20 minutes. And right off the bat, you go down, especially on a Minnesota squad that had so many people, you know, cycling in and out from their MLS season game. So thumbs down, Horn. Thumbs down, Yarrow. What the hell are we doing? The two St. Louis goals, though, I mean, the first St. Louis goal, thumbs up for Bumgarnel, chasing it down in the corner and playing a great ball. Two thumbs up for Hartel, sticking with it, putting it in the back of the net. And it feels like we just hardly ever score, so it's just crazy seeing stuff goes in. Thumbs up to both of them. Hartel had a great game. Bumgarnel, you know, center back being up there playing crosses in is kind of crazy, but it is what it is. But a good equalizer. And City, honestly, the whole second half played so good.
We'll take our offense however we can get it.
Yeah. And speaking of offense, not too much later, two thumbs up to Hartel this time. Two thumbs up to Klaus. Nobody was getting that ball except for Klaus on the second St. Louis goal. Hartel, just a perfect ball over the top. And you could tell as soon as Klaus went up for it, it was in the back of the net. And we just need more. I mean, two goals and two Open Cup games. It's a shame that doesn't translate to our league games.
I think that it's a good confidence builder for sure. Maybe not after the result, but I think that going back to that, I have just have a couple thoughts. Going back to the first Minnesota goal, Mike and I were talking about, it was so great to see JGR, and it was awesome that he's getting minutes and all this stuff. I feel like he also was kind of, I don't know if ball watching is the term, but he was the other one that, like, Yeboah went right. He cut Yarrow off at the ball, and then JGR was just kind of standing there behind him, like, not really moving. So that made me kind of like, you know, come on, man. But the other two, the City goals, I mean, those are the two players that I think that you need to be scoring if you're going to be successful. Maybe add Toy Shirt to the mix. I'm sure we'll talk his dance in the second half, but Klaus and Hartel with no Leuven in the lineup are the two that I'm like, they're going to have to drive the offense if we're going to be putting balls in the back of the net.
Yep, I agree. And if I only give thumbs up, thumbs down, two thumbs up, two thumbs down to the goals, like they're what is going on in the play. But if I could give a 3 to 4 thumbs down to Toy Shirt for missing that late one, I would. Because that one, he's on the doorstep. He doesn't even put it on net. And then what happens, you know, 3 minutes later. So, the City goals.
Talk about the Berkey bombs. We almost got one. Sorry, Trevor. We almost got one. That was a perfect ball up the right to Zonde before he played in Toy Shirt. And it honestly, it felt like when we play pro clubs and like one of us, maybe me specifically, gets the ball in on goal and you just immediately start panicking and sweating. He had so much time, and he had Hartel running along his left. He could have easily slipped that in and and gotten the ball, the score that we needed. I mean, it was, it's just so frustrating.
I'm fine with him shooting it there, but it's such a piss poor effort, and he could have also taken a touch as well.
That's the whole thing. Yeah, even if he shoots, just settle the ball, get a little closer.
And I wonder if it's a mental thing. I wonder if it's a mental thing just because he knows he's not living up to expectations or something. I mean, early on, he had a fantastic couple of touches that would have put him on a breakaway, and I think should have been a VAR on a foul in the box because the defender definitely pushed him over. But I wonder if he's just getting nervous with the ball. And, like, you see the technical ability, you see the skill, and we saw it last year, but then there's stuff like that where, like, that play there at the end, like, I think I could finish from there, or I could play it over to Hartel. I'm fine with them shooting, but it was such a bad shot. So just play it over to Hartel there, and it's an easy goal. He bungled it, and it cost City 3 points.
No points in the cups, boys.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It cost City, it cost me my mental stability.
That we said it, but before we get to the two goals by our former City player, it was a great play by Yarrow to come back and make that goal line stop. Like Mike said, in the simplest terms, we shit on him a lot. But I think he was our second highest rated player after Hartel. Like he got turned around a few times, but he also had a couple great recoveries, and he saved what at the time would have been a go-ahead goal. So, I mean, he played well.
Yeah, he definitely has pace to recover, and you saw it on that, you know, that goal line save. He got turned around, and then the guy broke past him, and then he had the speed to get back and save it off the line. And he always has speed to catch these guys, and he definitely has a great work ethic, and he might be one of the hardest workers there. He's just, you know, he has a brick foot, and he gets turned around a lot, and he misses his marks. And, you know, if he just had some more technical ability, he'd be one of the best defenders in the world. He just gets turned around and loses his. I mean, to be fair, City, and I mean, that's what happened on the third Minnesota goal. They just don't do a very good job of marking players, especially ones making runs in.
Yeah, the Zielinski kind of got turned around too on that first Markanić goal up the what would have been City's right hand side.
Yeah, so
I think Burke even. Oh, go ahead. I know Trevor's got a break.
So in the 85th, I'm not giving Zielinski a two thumbs down, but he definitely gets a thumbs down. It's a tough play for him to make, and I think he just got turned around the wrong way. If he would have just stayed there and trusted that he was going to intercept that ball, I think that'd have been a better play. But you never know. And I also give a thumbs down to Berkey on this one. I know it's one-on-one. In the post-match presser with Berkey, Berkey says he should make that save. And I wasn't going to give a thumbs down to Berkey at all, but Berkey said right there he should make that save. If he was in better form, he'd make that save. So at least Berkey's taking accountability, unlike others. So I definitely think that goal could have been avoided a couple different ways. I think Berkey could have made that save. I don't think many keepers make that save, but Berkey says he can make that save. I'm going to trust him on that one. It's just unfortunate. I think there needs to be better pressure on the ball throughout the whole game, but better pressure on the ball in the midfield. And what surprised me is these first two Minnesota goals came through the ball getting worked up the pitch really quick through their midfield and then having no pressure on the ball. Which is, it's odd because Durkin and Gerdward Reich are both defensive-minded midfielders. So I think there's just a little too much spacing between the back line and that midfield line.
So we're figuring out why we stick with JGR.
Yeah. I was literally like reading it. I'm like, oh, frick. So JGR. Anyway, that Yarrow and Hebert and Bumgarner all need to be in a tighter line. They kind of left Zielinski on an island to where Markanić can already get behind him. If that line is tight, Markanić is offsides, you know, by 3 or 4 steps. And I think they were caught ball watching a lot of that this season. Is just our line's not tight enough and they're letting guys onside. And then it either have to take a save for Berkey or Zielinski make a great play on it. And it just doesn't happen all the time. And then 3 minutes later, I give a thumbs down to Olof and the defense as a whole. What are we doing here? I mean, they're lucky it wasn't 3-2 earlier. Berkey had to make a point blank save, and then it becomes 3-2, 88th. Same man, Markanić, former City player who I shit on a lot. Here's my comeuppance. This was just, I mean, it was the corner kick right after Yarrow saved it on the goal line. And then, you know, a minute later after Yarrow bailed him out, every defender is just left standing, watching the ball come in. Silva tried to get up for it, but he was too late. And just like that, our hopes and dreams of winning a trophy this year are crushed.
Yeah, I mean, last two goals were the same issue of people not marking and a lot of ball watching from our defenders.
The number that stood out to me when I looked at the stats after this game was that Minnesota had 15 shots inside City's penalty area. That's crazy.
Yeah, 16 total shots, 11 on target, and 5 big chances to our 4. It just shows how even when you give up 3 goals, Berkey's right there to bail you out.
Made 7 saves.
You shouldn't have. I mean, oh God. I mean, it's just, it's weird. It's almost like, it's kind of like my golf game. As soon as my drive's working, my wedges are off. As soon as my wedges are working, my irons are off. This team just can't put it together for a complete 90. And then on the season, they can't put it together. I mean, look at those first 10 games. Our defense was lights out, but we couldn't score. Now we're actually putting some goals in, but our defense is really leaky. Yeah, just it's not all gelling together. But at this point, even if it does all get going at the same time, we're kind of digging ourselves a hole too late. And that, I mean, the cup game has nothing to do with the season, but the season's just going the same way. I mean, you saw it on, we already reviewed it, but same thing happened on Saturday. It's just our defense is now starting to slide. There's a lot of gaps in our defense, and we're just dropping points and dropping games and cups because of it.
Do we even want to do the whole Olaf out thing? Like, I feel like at this point I've seen it so much online. I kind of am just done talking about it either. I don't know. Do we want to do it again? We did it last week.
No,
not really, but I am surprised as time of recording this, this is the Thursday afterwards, that he still has a job.
Yeah, we're all surprised he still has a job. But I'm not going to sit here every week and say Olaf out until it happens.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be annoying about it. I will say that this was the first time that I think I officially fell into that category. But I understand why you keep him around and give him more time. That's all I'll say. Mike, do we want to kick it to your mystery segment?
He has to go.
Goblin. He has to go, Goblin.
Yeah, we can move forward.
It's time to go. That's my favorite.
It's actually a great segue there because this segment's about, I'm going to give you guys some categories and I want you to say how the team should move forward, how the club as a whole should move forward within those categories.
Okay.
I'll keep the first one real quick. I'll give a shout out to Coffee Soccer, who posted this on the St. Louis City subreddit. He had a really great breakdown. You guys should go read it if you haven't. But he's asking, moving forward, what should the team do about blank? I'm going to give you guys these. I want to hear your reactions to them, right?
Like I said, do we get a prize? If there's a right answer, do we get like a prize or a point?
Well, there is no right answer because it's your opinion.
Okay.
But there's a right answer on this one.
Oh.
Berkey. Moving forward, what should the club do with Berkey?
I think whatever he wants. If he wants to re-sign, you re-sign him. If he wants to leave, I don't think that he owes us anything. That would be my answer. Whatever he wants to do, that's what the club does.
Yeah, I'd like to re-sign him for probably 2 years because he is starting to get up there in age. I think maybe 2 more years. He's the best goalie in the MLS, and it's hard to find talent like that wants to stay, so hopefully he does. But I would definitely resign. There's no way I'd be trying to get rid of Berkey on purpose.
That's the right answer, guys. Good job. Almost a blank check situation, if you want my opinion on it.
I don't know about blank check, but definitely just like...
I said almost. As same, close to a blank check
say,
as MLS.
Yeah, I would say same money, even a little bit more, a little bit less, couple years. I wouldn't do like a 4 or 5 year deal, but definitely...
If it was NFL or MLB, it's blank check. But it's MLS, I understand the rules and all that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that everybody agrees on that one. Coaching. Moving forward.
Get him out of here. You're fired.
I want you to think longer term than just Olaf.
So would if Olaf's out in this week, the next week, whenever, does it just go back to Hack being interim?
It seems that's how it's being set up, is Hack is going to be the interim again.
At this point, instead of, you know, Hack's interim for the rest of the year, like last year, and then you go in the offseason and get a new coach, I would just keep Hack until Hack's out at that point. Because, like, I mean, unless somebody brilliant pops up on Lutz's radar, I just think, you know, Hack had a good last 10 games, and then now once again he's probably going to be interim manager. Just keep him at this point until, you know, a coach comes out of the blue. But I would just keep him and not even put the interim tag on him. I would just be like, there's your new head coach for the foreseeable future.
My only issue with that is I'm pretty sure that I have a inside source, someone who's infiltrated the cycling group that Hack is in. It's actually just, I think it was Jason Goodbody from City SC Report. Shout out to Jason Goodbody. That said that Hack does not want to coach. He likes being in the role he's in kind of behind the scenes. So I don't think that he would want anything other than the interim tag. But to be honest, I think you give Olaf some time. I think you let him finish out the year. As crazy as that sounds, I just don't know if firing another coach.
I disagree with both of you guys.
I just don't know if firing another coach and starting the whole process over is going to do any good. I think that if they don't make the playoffs, that's a very clear, like, objective that you didn't hit. Then I think you have a reason to let him go.
I just think if you don't fire him, it feels like you're not doing anything. It feels like ownership's just like, oh, lost a season, we'll just keep losing. Even if they turn it around a little bit, it's like, at least it's kind of like, I hate to compare them to other St. Louis sports franchises, but it kind of feels like the Cardinals, when they were down the last 2 years, you know, the fans were getting restless because we were losing and nothing was changing. They just kept going about their day. So it feels like nothing was getting done. It feels like they were fine with losing. And I think that would be the situation here if you just keep Olaf the whole year and continue to lose. It feels like you've just given up on the season and given up on the fans. That might be a little dramatic and harsh, but that's just how it would come across to me a little bit.
Don't get me wrong. I'm very much Olaf out. It's just not something I'm going to keep on harping on for a season. I think it's very okay for this organization to admit Olaf's not the guy. It was the wrong call. You know, his system didn't mesh with the players we have, and we didn't go out and get the players his system needs. I mean, that's as much as you should say about it, because that's all that there is to it, honestly. As far as the next coach, I don't have a name for you. I don't think Hack is the guy, and if he doesn't want to be the guy, then he's definitely not the next one. I think the next coach needs to have winning MLS experience. I don't want any other European castaways. I want a coach who's had success at the MLS level.
And I think that that's the right answer, the MLS experience part. I don't know. Because even if they do fire him, does it not make, I don't know. I don't know if it makes more sense to just get to the end of the year. You can start fresh in the offseason, have a new coach come in and try to get the players acclimated to the system and give them time. I think that, I mean, Hack did a decent job, but I think that if you fire him now, and start over, I think that you're also kind of punting on the season in that way.
There is a manager that just got fired earlier this year with a lot of MLS experience.
Yeah.
Almost. Jeremy's from Kansas City. There you go.
Can you imagine if they did that? Can you imagine?
I get that point, Cole, that it seems to be a lost season either way. Almost with whatever decision you get, you know, half of us are going to be saying it's a lost season because Olaf stays, or it's a lost season because Olaf isn't staying. I'd rather get the new guy in here ASAP so he can test the players out before the next transfer window. Make sure, you know, oh, hey, Celio, Silva, and Toyshirt really work in this system. So let's move on from so-and-so. And I'd rather that happen in a lost season than we just have to start over square one at the off season, not really knowing anything going forward.
I think if a new coach gets hired here soon and Olaf is out, it'll probably not be an MLS guy, just based on the fact right now all the European leagues are starting to end. Pretty much all of them are over, besides, you know, the ones in the Champions League. That's what, PSG and Inter or whatever. But most of those leagues are finishing right now. So I'm sure Lutz is looking in that arena to where the MLS, you know, keeps on going for a while. Unless there's a former guy out there. But I'm sure they're just looking in Bundesliga 2 for a coach right now. But I agree with you, Mike. I think if you're going to... Like, my point initially was just keep Hacking, but if Hack really doesn't want to coach, then, yeah, get the new guy in here ASAP just to let him get familiar with the organization before you go into next season. So in this next transfer window and in the offseason, you can really start to get players to that fit his style of play. Because you're right. I mean, these players don't fit Olaf's style of play, quote unquote, because I don't know if Olaf really has a style, because he says he doesn't like this five at the back, but that's all he's played all year. But I agree with you on that one.
You guys, we can move on to, I know, Mike, you have other areas, but do you guys think if Hack did want to coach, like say my inside source at the cycling group is wrong, I don't know. Hack just doesn't really excite me. I mean, I would be excited if they went on a undefeated streak and won a bunch of games, but I don't know. I've just kind of lost. I hated it when I had it, that high press, you know, always constantly moving with Carnell, but now I kind of miss it.
I don't think Hack's not the next guy, in my opinion. I said what I think we need. I'm in the position of, we almost need to follow FC Cincinnati's lead. They sucked for 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, then what weren't they? Did they win the last year? They were near the top of the table. I don't know if they ended up actually winning the top of the table.
They won the Supporters Shield the year we won the West, didn't they?
Okay, And then they're second in the East this year. You know, they went out. They got a coach who has MLS experience. The main thing, though, with the coaching change, whoever the next guy is, you got to commit. You know, it can't be a 1 to 2 year system. Like, you got to make sure it's the right guy before you hire him, because we keep, like Cole said, we can't keep firing coaches.
Also, I know that this is super dramatic and this might be a good segue into your next category. I don't know how far it goes, but I almost feel like this should be like an NFL front office situation, where if you're firing the coach, you might as well, I don't know, I don't want to be too dramatic, but I feel like then you should fire the GM or whatever that equivalent is and just completely start over.
I would just like more info. He had that 5-year plan, then we win. Now it doesn't seem like the plan's in place, or we haven't heard about this plan. Like, just like Doug Armstrong, just tell us what you're doing. Tell us, like, your expectations were to make the playoffs this year. Well, it's not happening right now. Fire the coach. If your expectations the next 2 years are to build up the youth program, we're going to be bad, just come out and say it. I think the fans would appreciate it more.
Even if you kept him, even if you kept Olaf and you like came out and put your foot down, it would piss off some fans. But if you said, we are not firing him, we're giving him until the end of the year, like it, even if you didn't say that specifically, if you just communicated, like, might as well stop asking because it's not going to happen, I think that would at least let fans know where you stand, because I feel like a lot of people now fully expected Olaf to be gone by Thursday morning, and we're kind of in the weird, like, I don't know.
They expected him to be gone Monday when that report came out.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, maybe, you know, maybe we've been, like, we've been blessed with Armstrong for the Blues, right? Not to go into a Blues talk, but, you know, like, maybe we should compare him to Armstrong. He kind of, but that does kind of,
people wanted him fired.
Yeah, trust the process.
Not smart people.
People are going to, spending in direction was my next category. We've heard from the owners that they don't want to invest, you know, buku bucks into every retiree from Europe. Yada, da, da. What should we do going forward in terms of our spending?
Trevor, you go first.
That's actually a good question. I think I'm about, I feel like we say it every time, the attack has so many issues, and I think Klaus does so much off the ball. But I'd like us to really spend money on another number 9 or maybe one more midfielder that is to equal skill as Leuven. Because I think when Kessler's back, that defense is really shored up and there's not as many gaps to where right now, you know, if one person's not playing man defense, the defense doesn't work. And I think that's kind of how I feel with our back line right now. But I really think, and Leuven's at good number 10, but I really think our midfield has just been getting dominated all season. Leuven's availability is spotty, to say the least. And then we need a goal scorer. So I think up the middle is where you should spend your money. Why did we have so much success that first year? Up the middle, we had Klaus, who was on a heater. Then we had Leuven behind him. You know, then we had Tim Parker, who was playing out of his mind. And then you had Berkey. Up the middle, we were so strong, we were winning games. I think it needs to get back to that, to where if you have one more strong midfielder that complements Leuven and or can sub in for Leuven, you still have Berkey, and then you have that number 9 up top. I think you'll be a lot stronger, especially with Kessler being as good as he is when healthy. So that's where I would like to put our money, a number 9, and then a number, I mean, I wouldn't want to say number 10 because of Leuven, but another midfielder.
You got your answer, Cole? You want me to do my way in?
I mean, what I'm going to do, looked from the what by chat. I didn't know if we wanted to get that into it. Like, if we could just go around and do like a yes or no on if you'd want to keep this person or not, or if that's too extra.
Well, we could save that for another one. I'm just talking about in general. How in should general, we go forward?
I think, and I agree with the premise, like, when they first brought in the Marco Royce rumors, I was on board for it, but I agree with not wanting to pay every old retiree from Europe, but I think you got to spend money somewhere. Like, whether it's a poaching striker like the dude at KC who came from LA, whether it's a center mid who, you know, might be a little older, but he's not like 35, 36, you know. You know, I just think you got to spend more money. I think that really is the biggest gripe from a lot of fans, especially as a Spurs fan who sat through a lot of off seasons where they just would not spend big money. That is what I think kind of shows that you, I don't know, not that you don't care, but like, I feel like you got to spend money to win, to be honest. So that's my answer. Spend money for once and don't sign 38-year-old veterans.
It would be cool to get a guy in here for just jersey sales, though. You know, like, it'd be a lot of money. But when those rumors were surfacing, it might have been the first year, it might have been the second year. But who is a striker from? Oh, Firmino, Bobby Firmino. Like, that would be cool, but I don't think that'd be good long-term success.
We're not beating out those. Like, we're not beating anyone out in Europe on a transfer fee. Even without beating our ownership being a little stingy.
MLS on the coast, like LA, New York. I don't think Miami. We're not beating them out either. Chicago would even probably be on a higher list than ours.
My biggest, what I want to see change most about spending and the direction of who we go out and get beyond just the obvious, we got to do more, we have to spend more, is what we've really seen from Lutz. And I, as of this moment, either let him go or like tell him he's out at 26 when his contract's up, right? But he kind of, if you've noticed, he does a lot of his spending in the summer transfer window after the European season, because that's what he does. He goes out and gets the European guys. Mm-hmm. That's right smack dab in the middle of our season. I get a lot of those guys aren't going to leave their teams halfway through the European season. I would like for him to do more business in the winter window they have so that we can get players in and accumulated. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think it's just, I don't know. And I like the idea, like when we were signing all of these Bundesliga 2 players, I was like, fuck yeah, like these guys are going to bring over a different type of quality, and you know, it's going to be very physical, but they're also going to bring some creativity. And I like going out and getting the European guys, but I think we saw it with or Dyer, however you say it, and Blum even, maybe to an extent, where it takes a while for these guys to get fully comfortable and acclimated. Yeah, like it takes, which I'm sure there's reasons, but it takes way longer than we think for them to actually be comfortable enough to go out and play at 100% and give their all every match day, you know?
I wonder if, you know how Horn, he got so much heat for, but when Horn said MLS is better than Bundesliga 2, I think Lutz might not know that. And like, he had so much success that first season. I think there was like a lot of, like, you know, I wouldn't say it was lucky first season, but they did tail off towards the end. They just played lights out the first, you know, half of that season. But maybe Lutz thinks like he's bringing in these Bundesliga 2 players that are going to walk people. I mean, because Leuven, I mean, you brought Leuven in and you look at Berkey, who had a lot of Bundesliga minutes. It's like, yeah, they are better than most MLS teams. But then he's just bringing anybody in from Bundesliga 2 and they're not having the success that he's thinking, and he just hasn't strayed from it yet.
Mike, you got any other categories? Any other questions? Okay.
This one kind of feeds into the last one. Just roster management in general. I mean, what should we do going forward? I mean, should we build the youth program like they want to, focus on that, and, you know, kind of be bad in the interim? Should we start buying players out who, like, kind of like, off my head, like Glover, you know, he plays a majority for City 2, and his pay really doesn't reflect that. What are you guys thinking?
I think they are putting a lot into their youth, and this might just be a lack of knowledge on MLS youth, but I feel like if you have a really good player in your youth program, you'll make money off him because he's definitely not going to stay in the MLS that long. But I don't know. As a roster management, it's easy to be critical this year of the depth Lutz has built on this team, but you can also say on one hand, injuries like this are usually not common when this many pile up. So you're seeing right now how we can't rotate because we don't have a depth in the lineup or anything like that, but it's also usually you don't have 10 guys injured at once.
And I think, generally speaking, this is also recency bias, because if we had put all this focus and time and energy into the youth system while we were performing well, I'd be, you know, ecstatic about the future, but it's kind of, I know we keep saying we don't want to compare them to St. Louis franchises, and then we do the same thing, but like, it's hard to be like, hey, come watch these young homegrown players when, you know, we're at the bottom of the table and we suck. Like, you can only say the future's coming for so long before fans say, well, what about right now? And I don't think that we're at that point yet. I would like to see, and this is just a repeat of what I said earlier, but I would like to see them go get maybe one player that, maybe it's a younger player with big upside. It could be
Josh Sargent, you know,
a player from Europe. Like some, I mean, it wouldn't be Josh Sargent because he was getting like 15 mil or something. But like,
hey,
somebody money, like money. That, you know.
Josh Sargent scored and like 14 goals in the championship this year. He's not going anywhere.
But like somebody like that, to where we would be like, holy shit, I can't believe we went out and got so and so.
Does he know we have a free zoo? Maybe that'll tempt him.
Something to be like, holy shit, we're all in.
I agree, though, and I kind of made that point earlier. It's like, it doesn't have to be a retired player, but it'd be cool to get somebody that just sells the jerseys, man. Like, especially if it is a little bit younger, just a big name, maybe even like a U.S. men's national team guy that's been in Europe. That's why I alluded to Josh Sargent. I don't know how many – the U.S. men's national team's getting so good now with, like, their starting 11 having big contracts on there. But it would just be cool to have somebody that everybody around the MLS knows that's on your roster. Because if you ask a New York fan right now or a Miami fan, are they going to name maybe Berkey? Are they going to name anybody on our roster? To where if you're just a casual MLS watcher, you know Royce is on, you know, the Galaxy and stuff like that. I wasn't trying to go with the Messi. Everybody knows where Messi's at. But, like, it'd be cool to have a guy on your team that people knows on your team that they don't even watch City games.
What it really boils down to for me in terms of the roster going forward, I like what they're doing, building the youth program. You know, I mean, I get it. But all that means to me is you have to use your designated player slots better than what they're using them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We have what? We only have two designated players, right? Hartel and Klaus.
Yeah, and I think Hartel's deserving of it.
Hartel's deserving.
He's actually been a good get.
Klaus needs to go. And yep. Do they know you get three? Why do we have one open?
I don't know.
I think
maybe that'll come in the way. I mean, we've never had three, though. We've never had all three filled at once, right?
It's not a trend I want to keep going.
Because that first year is just Leuven and Klaus,
right.
And then Leuven was no longer the DP. We got Hartel. And that's been that. We've just never have had three on the roster at all. And we hardly ever have two on the field. I mean, this whole season we've had maybe, what, five or six games with two DPs on the field all the time.
I'm
hard to win that way.
I'm looking at the roster on the MLS website, and it definitely has Leuven as a DP. It says we have three.
That I just looked at that. That's as of, I think at the top it says as of, it's old. The MLS put a article out that's updated as of March 26, 2025. Only has us listed as two.
I thought that Leuven, like, Leuven, I don't want to say was, reclassified, but... Yeah, he
definitely did. Something changed. I think it had to do with his. Didn't he get a
like citizenship like a status card
or something?
Yeah. It had to do something with like a visa.
Something changed there.
So, yeah,
but
I think ownership
DPs. I mean, I think they've built. We've definitely spent enough to where we shouldn't be bottom of the league. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
it's not a surprise we're not
top five. Players just have to be better. Yeah, it's not a surprise we're not top five. Definitely players have to be better.
Yeah, it's not a surprise with how we're spending. We definitely shouldn't be bottom five, but it's not a surprise we're fighting for supporter shield. Especially with just with a DP slot just wide open. Like to me, it feels like you're not 100% all in if you're you know, not taking advantage of one of the best rules in the MLS, which they have a lot of stupid ones. But it's awesome that you can keep, with this salary, you can keep off the books, you know, three players and you're not even utilizing all three.
Klaus is the only DP player that, or DP player, it's the only DP that he can go. Leuven, if he can actually be in the lineup, I would be happy to have him and Hartel as the two, bring in maybe another DP striker.
Leuven is but not also, a good player.
Oh, yeah, sorry, we literally just said that, sorry. But I also think if you were going to get rid of one of the two strikers, Klaus or Toyshirt, at this point I would get rid of Toyshirt, to be honest.
I kind of agree with that. It's crazy to say because of how long we've kind of been critical of Klaus. I mean, Toyshirt's making bad play after bad play, and he is technically our leading goal scorer with two, but, I mean, man, it's just...
I disagree with that.
Really, you'd rather have...
The fact of... Toyshirt's only been doing that, only been having this. So how are you only going to give Toyshirt 14 games? You give Klaus 2.5 seasons of it.
I think it's because of what Klaus does off the ball or holding up play. Toyshirt is a pure finisher, right? He doesn't really create too much. He doesn't seem super technical with his feet. And if he's brought in to finish, unlike Klaus, who has other skills, if he's brought in to finish, and he's not finishing, I just feel like he's one-dimensional, and that one dimension is not working.
I have an issue with us knowing that we're not going to be opening the checkbook for anybody and yet continue to pay someone that amount of money to not score goals. It really doesn't matter to me what he does off ball. Yeah. He's a striker at the end of the day. He's got to score goals. He hasn't done that in 2.5 years. It's time to move on, and if you guys think Toyshirt should go, I'm fine with that as well. But if I'm having to pick, I'd rather take Klaus's salary and spend it on someone else.
That's true, and I don't disagree with that. It's just, honestly, both of them can go as far as I'm concerned. But if you had to keep one, I don't know. I just think that Klaus, like when we had him paired with like Giacchini, I think that really worked, and I think if you could find somebody like him to, you know, play off the ball while Klaus is holding up or, you know, to pair with him, I think it, even with the salary he's getting, I think it could be effective.
A lot of ifs in that statement is my point.
That's true. That's true. You're not being wrong.
He's not a good enough player, even when he's scoring, to build the team around.
Yeah.
I'd rather build around Hartel.
Or Leuven if he can play.
Well, speaking specifically about our designated players, I'd rather build around Hartel.
Yeah.
And spend that money on, I'd just spend that money on Cavani and just have him park in front of net, tap him in.
As long as it goes in, that'd be fine with me.
Exactly. That's all I had. The last one he had was expectations versus reality. I think we've covered that enough that we just need honesty from the front office. They just need to come out and say, this isn't working. Here's our expectations. At a winning club, you expect to make the playoffs every year, especially when 9 teams make it. You know, I mean, it's not like there's a shortage. We're not playing for the pennant or anything. But they just need to be honest, and I mean, I hate comparing them to Armstrong. They just need to be like Armstrong.
And
we just need to offer sheet some players.
Go after Edmonton. Just
steal some players. I think that the first season is really where this comes into play. Like you've said 500 times, we have it flipped now to where we started out strong and now we're tailing off. I think that first year with the one seed and going right into the playoffs, that's kind of what, because we know we can do that. We saw it in our inaugural season. So I think that is in the back of a lot of fans' minds, where that's where a lot of the frustration is because we know that we can and maybe should be pretty close to that level. We're far from it.
Well, that's all I had. I appreciate you guys for indulging in that.
A good segment. I like that.
Definitely different than just sitting here ranting for 40 minutes, I think.
Yeah. Do we want to go ahead and quickly talk at least the preview for Saturday? I don't even know really last week if we want to do like a full lineup prediction, because I feel like they're usually pretty similar. There's just a couple of changes, but we can at least maybe get like some general thoughts, you know, how we're feeling, what we think will happen. Maybe we can get into the guessing game and kind of put a bow on this episode.
Instead of a full lineup, why don't we just go around and have two players we want to highlight that we want to see Saturday?
Mine are the same as they were on Wednesday, and it's Celio and Silva. I want them causing havoc out on the wing. We played a million crosses in on Wednesday. I want to see them facilitating that all 1v1 against defenders. We need some, what's the word? Some pizzazz, some flair into this lineup.
Some accoutrements.
Some je ne sais quoi, some would say.
Gorlami.
I think, I always say Celio, so it's an easy answer.
Can we give two different ones?
Different than Celio?
Different than Celio and Silva, Cole said.
But Celio's my favorite.
Well, yeah, but
that's why I wanted to go first.
And Leuven's not traveling with the team. Is that correct?
Probably.
You can assume he's not.
Goodness. I would say, man, other than...
You want me to go? I have my two already.
Just go ahead for a sec, yeah.
I want to see JGR again. I really want to see him develop. Keep in mind, he's, what, 20? I mean, talk about investing in the youth. I want more JGR. I want to see him develop. And someone that I think we missed Wednesday, Akil Watt. No, I'm just kidding. Ostrock. I want to see Ostrock back in the lineup. Starting lineup, I should say.
I was going to say, could I say two players I don't want to see instead of I want to see? I know he's in all the time, and we've seen him so much, but I would really like to see Berkey command and start really... I mean, he's been bailing us out, but I mean, I want a Berkey, like, Tim Howard-esque performance in the World Cup. Like, I just want to see him stop everything. Yeah, I want to see him stop everything. And then this one might surprise you because he might be the person we are dogged on the most. I want to see Yaro actually mark the number 9. I'm guessing that's going to be, how do you pronounce that? Yappy. I don't want to see any runs in from behind like they've been doing. Pause. Just mark the guys, play a good solid 90 minutes of defense. Berkey bail us out when they can't do it. So I want to see Berkey and Yaro and that whole back line just match up against Colorado and get a clean sheet out of here. And if you keep into a clean sheet, you can't lose the game. So.
We've seen before Colorado, it was a 0-0 draw the first time around. I kind of think that might be our best result again. We had issues against their goalie, Zach Steffen.
Who's actually not going to be playing, by the way.
He's not going to be playing?
No, he is out.
Oh, we're winning 10-0 then.
Well, I don't know about that. But yeah, abdominal injury, he's not due back till mid-June. Navarro is also out till mid-June.
Oh, I might need a little live edit on this guessing game. Well, we can get into that. Cole, you want to hit us up with yours?
Yeah, I also thought about doing a live edit, but I'm going to stick with what I had. I'm going to go with another draw. I think we share points on Saturday. I'm going to go 1-1. I have Berkey as man of the match. I think we do see... Tim Howard versus Belgium performance out of him, hopefully. And I didn't really know who to go with for our goal scorer. I originally thought like Klaus, maybe Leuven if he was traveling, but I'm going to go with Toyshirt. I know I literally just said that I think that I'd be okay with him leaving, but I didn't know who else to pick. I don't think we see a repeat of Hartel getting another goal in two straight, same with Klaus. So I wasn't sure if Celio was going to play, so I'm going to go play it safe, we'll probably get at least 50, 60 minutes. Cedric Toyshirt, goal scorer.
Are we going to hit up with yours?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go. Yeah, no, Zach Steffen. I think this team, I mean, you could have, I said the same thing about Wednesday's cup game, though. This team's desperate. Olaf's desperate. You think they'd come out firing. They did for a stint, but they can just never put a full 90 together. I predicted it earlier. Berkey's going to have a crazy game. I think Hartel gets one from the spot. I say that almost every time I pick Hartel or Leuven. We just have not gotten any calls in the box, but it's a 2-0 City victory. Hartel, the goal scorer from the spot, and that's the only reason he is over a Berkey man of the match, which I could still see Berkey getting the man of the match with how I predict it. But 2-0 City, and I think, yeah, Colorado doesn't have their main goal stopper in, and I think we take advantage.
Mr. BVMLS thinks we're going to get a pin? Yeah.
Yeah, actually, live edit that out. We're not getting a pin. Big MLS is going to keep us down once again.
I got us winning 1-0. Like I said, it was a 0-0 draw last time. You know who we didn't have last time? Celio.
Celio.
Celio with the goal. However, I think Berkey has, not to, you know, be a repeater, but I think he has a Tim Howard versus Belgium in him. I think he gets man of the match. 16 saves, something like that.
Really, it's a very original take that no one else has repeated on this show. Well, boys, I think that'll do it. Oh, we did have an update in the standings of the guessing game. Last week, Mike and I each got a point for the Klaus goal. We were wrong We were wrong on the score, but Trevor, do you want to go ahead and give us the points update on the standings?
Eat shit.
That's not what you say that, Trevor?
All right.
Yeah, it's not what it says.
Cole has 4 points, Mike has 4 points, Trevor has 4 points.
That's also not what it says.
I'm illiterate.
How many points, Trevor?
I have 1 point.
still 3 points behind the lead. So we will see if Trevor can gain any ground on Saturday. We will be back afterwards, probably, I would assume, Monday morning with our recap of that. Until then, give us a follow on social media, X at ICL Pod, at C Sutton City. And until then, let's go all caps.